Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
We are in a series this year here at Ablaze. One life makes all the difference. And of course, that one life is Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus who calls himself as the Good Shepherd. Now, over the past several weeks, we've been looking at the words of Jesus from chapter 10 of John. Now, I'd like to make a profound statement, okay? Some of you might think it's just a joke, but there's truth in it. A lot of people who are very smart think the pyramids and how the pyramids were built is a mystery. All the grandeur, all the splendor, and how big those pyramids are. So many people think it's just a mystery how they were built. But I'm here to tell you that there's no mystery at all. I can tell you how the pyramids were built. The Egyptians started at the bottom and worked their way to the top. Now, that's a profound statement in this, that there's truth in it. Well, today, we're going to take a look at what some people looked at as a mystery. Messy. Disorganized. But yet, there was design. And there was a beautiful picture. It comes to us from the words of Jesus, the voice of the Good Shepherd. And it starts out like this as a kind of a recap. You are nothing but sheep. How do you feel about that? Several weeks ago, I looked at you. You're just a bunch of sheep. Now, if you understand how dumb sheep are and how they love to be scattered, you may not like being called a sheep. But that's what you are, according to our God in his wonderful words, because he calls himself the Good Shepherd. Now, let me remind you something about sheep. They have a symbiotic relationship with the shepherd. Sheep, that is domesticated sheep, have to have a shepherd. That's the way God created them. They can't live without a shepherd. Who is going to shear the wool off a sheep? It'll be so heavy upon their bodies, it will kill them. Sheep need a shepherd just to survive. I'm here to tell you, you're a sheep and you need a shepherd. Now, Jesus clearly says there's two types of shepherds. Don't be fooled. They're the ones who want to steal and rob, and they only care about themselves. And then there's the good shepherd. And he says he's the good shepherd. And what is the good shepherd? He wants to care for the sheep. He wants to take care of the sheep. He wants to enable them to live, not only live, but live abundantly. Right before our verse today that we're going to look at, Jesus says this, I have come so that the sheep, now raise your hand if you're a sheep, okay? That's everybody, okay? I have come that the sheep may have life, but not only life, but abundant life. You know, life has a way to get us down. And I'm sure some of you, if not today, maybe tomorrow, you might go, you know, I don't have much of an abundant life. And maybe you're here right now going, my life isn't abundant. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, life abundantly. What is the abundant life that Jesus is talking about, that true voice? You see, the world says abundant life is in the how much money you make. The house you have, the career you have, the retirement you set aside. You don't have to live long in this life to realize it's not all that it's cracked up to be. What is the abundant life that Jesus is speaking out? He takes Psalm 23 and he brings John 10 together to share with us what the abundant life is. Remember the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd, what shall I want? Oh gosh, he makes me just rest in green pastures. He leads me besides quiet waters. When my soul is down, and your soul will get down, he refreshes it. And even though I walk through the valleys of this life, unemployment, a virus, a disease, a breakup, a divorce, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, or my enemy, the devil. My cup overflows. No matter what happens, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And no matter what happens, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow, that is a shepherd who's so proud to be called, that is a person, King David, so proud to be called a sheep. And that's what Jesus is saying. Now, he moves into this portion of his words and he says, now let me tell you something that will paint this beautiful picture that I painted thousands of years ago, and it has been messed up. That puzzle has been destroyed. Let's take a look at it. With me, once again, turn to John 10, 14. Listen to what Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. Of course, the good shepherd is the one that doesn't steal or rob. He wants what's best for the sheep. I know my own and my own know me. He's saying, listen, sheep know the shepherd. Shepherd knows this sheep. There's this symbiotic union that is so important. But notice how he clarifies it. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, meaning, I know you like I know the Father, and I want you to know me like I know the Father. And here's a statement that is profound. In fact, Jesus says this four times. If you take anything with you today, I want you to know this about the Good Shepherd. In four verses, he says this four times so you get the picture straight, so the puzzle pieces fall together. I lay down my life for the sheep. Only in Christianity does God lay down his life for the people. Does the shepherd lay down his life for the sheep? Here is the gospel in a nutshell. Listen, I lay down my life for the sheep. And then putting a puzzle piece to make it a little clearer, and I have other sheep, what? That are not of this fold. I must bring them also. I must bring them also, why? So that they will listen to my voice. What I'd like to do now is just take you back 2,000 years ago during the time of Jesus. If you'd walk around Jerusalem, you'd see a lot of Jews, a lot of Hebrews, from the tribe of Judah. You'd see this beautiful temple. In fact, the disciples said, Jesus, look at this temple. He says, someday there won't be one block and stone on top of the other. Now, the temple has courts. There is the Gentile court. And those Gentiles could not go into the next court, which is the women's court. And then the inner court would be where the men would go. And they'd worship God and give a sacrifice. Gentiles were not allowed to do that. There was a prayer that every Jewish man would pray. And it goes like this. Dear Master of the Universe, because they wouldn't say the word of Elohim, God, or Yahweh. I am so thankful that I am not a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. You know that a man made that prayer up. The Jews were so racist. They figured there's only two types of people in the whole world. The Jews, descendants of Abraham, period, and everybody else, and they don't have a chance to be in God's favor or go to heaven. And they made that clear when they built the second temple with the help of Herod the Great. See, in the first temple, there is no Gentile court. There is no woman's court. There is just a temple where everybody had access to if they wanted to worship the Lord, that is. Jesus is saying there was this beautiful picture in the Old Testament, and you have messed it up so much. And he said that to his hometown people, and they threw him out and wanted to kill him for it. He said, a prophet is without honor in his own town. Let me tell you, remember Elijah? He came. Where did he find refuge in the drought? A Gentile woman. Remember Elisha? He came. All these lepers among the Israelites, but who did he heal? The Gentile warlord named Naaman healed him from leprosy. Listen to the words of Matthew, the genealogy of the Messiah. He includes Rahab, a prostitute, Ruth, a Gentile, and Bathsheba. Why? Because he's saying, listen, this beautiful puzzle was there and you saw the painting. It includes the Jews and the Gentiles. It's from the beginning and you have messed it up, Jesus was saying. I have sheep, yes, of this fold, but there's more who are coming who will listen. Let me take you back to the Old Testament. The rule for those who want to worship in the temple. Numbers 7, verse 14. Just follow along if you want. And if a stranger is a Gentile, a goyim, a sojourner, is with you and living among you and wishes to worship as you do, for the assembly there shall be one law for you and for the stranger, the sojourner, the Gentile, who sojourns with you. This law forever throughout your generations. You and the Gentile, you and the sojourner, you and the stranger shall be alike before the Lord. Now I'm going to take you to Ezekiel, who in the Old Testament painted those pictures, part of the puzzle of the plan of salvation that was given to Adam and Eve in the garden, to a man and to a woman. Ezekiel 34, for thus says the Lord, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. This is the prophet Ezekiel saying, let me tell you about the Messiah. When he comes, he's going to be the shepherd. And this is what he's going to do. This is the plan of salvation, not just for the Jew, but for the Gentile. Not just for a man, but for a woman, for a slave and for free, for everyone. As a shepherd seeks out the flock when he's among the sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on the day. And I will bring them from the peoples, all the peoples, and gather them from all the countries and will bring them into their own land. You see, God's plan of salvation was not exclusive. It was inclusive. Listen to what many call the proclamation of the gospel in the Bible. Listen. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, it doesn't say the descendants of Abraham who believe, the Jews who believe, no, whoever believes will not perish, but have eternal life. Wow. Paul calls this a mystery, that the Jews and the Gentiles are together as part of that one flock and that one family. Jesus is saying, let me put the plan of salvation back together for you in a beautiful picture. I have, must bring also sheep from another fold, and they will listen to me. For this reason, verse 17, the Father loves me because I laid down my life that I may take it up again. This is God laying down his life. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down from my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. He's describing who he is, God Almighty. I have the authority to lay down my life, to die, and to resurrect and take it up again. This charge, this commandment, this plan of salvation, painting that beautiful picture, I have received from the Father of the Old Testament, the Father who those prophets have put those puzzle pieces together for you. Listen, the cross is not a tragedy. It is a strategy. It's not a messy thing. It is the message of God and his plan of salvation. Let me put it in a way that might be profound, but there's so much truth in it. The plan of salvation is from the bottom to the top. Conceived through the Holy Spirit, Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified. And he died and he was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. And he now sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. But he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Now, to some people in the world, that's a mystery. They look at Christians and they say, you guys got a messy faith. Jesus dying on a cross, really? Oh. Maybe you've struggled with that before. Maybe you know somebody who struggles with Christianity and the teaching that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one goes to heaven except through him. Maybe you're here this morning, you're struggling. Maybe you're listening to my voice on the web and you're going, yeah, I struggle with that. I don't know. Maybe you don't have an abundant life. You know, there's a lot of people who just exist. They don't have an abundant life. You know, there's a way to the abundant life. Well, you can face the valley and you're just still okay. There's a way of knowing Jesus. Now, some people would tell you the way to do that is you got to confess your sins. And there's nothing wrong with confessing your sins or listing your sins. I mean, let's say you were going to talk to somebody and they're not a Christian and you want to share your faith. What might you say? Oh, confess your sins. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Or you might lead them in the sinner's prayer. Maybe you've heard of the sinner's prayer, where I say to you, repeat after me. There's nothing wrong with the sinner's prayer where you say, just repeat after me, Lord, I'm sorry. But you know what I'd say to somebody who maybe doesn't know the Lord, doesn't have an abundant life, maybe struggling, the puzzle pieces haven't fallen together. There is no picture of salvation the way Jesus has put it together. You know what I'd say to that person? I'd say what Jesus said about those people. Listen. Listen to the voice of Jesus. I will gather them, sheep from another fold, and they will listen to my voice. My prayer for you when I started my message was, Lord, I pray they'll listen. In fact, I can tell you that I prayed for each and every one of you before this worship service. And you might say, oh, that's nice, Pastor Dreyer. But I've got some really good news for you. Jesus is our good shepherd. And when he finished his redemption work on earth, that is, died on the cross, not a tragedy, a strategy, and he ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, his work is not done. He makes it very clear in the Bible. You know what he's doing? praying for you, that you will know him as he knows you. He's making intercession, Paul says. You see, that should just make you in your heart leap. Jesus is praying for me that you won't be scattered. If you're scattered, he's coming looking for you. He does that through the work of the Holy Spirit who lives within you. He said, I must go so I can send the Holy Spirit. See, the Good Shepherd is still with us today. He's with us in word. When God's word is proclaimed, or when you read it, you hear the voice of Jesus. When somebody listens, maybe audio to the Bible, they can do that in their phone nowadays so easily. They hear the voice of Jesus. When a Bible-believing preacher, teacher, mother, father, brother, sister quotes the words of the Bible, they hear the voice of Jesus, and lives are changed, because that's what the Holy Spirit uses. The gospel, the voice of Jesus. And here is the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus says, get this down. I lay down my life for the sheep. Are you listening? Because in our world, there's a voice of truth. It's the voice of Jesus, and everybody needs to hear it. And then there's a false voice. There's a voice that says, you can't do it. There's a voice that says, you can't share it. There's a voice that says, you're going to fall. There's a voice that says, you're not worthy. There's a thief that wants to take everything from you, even your life and the abundance of it all. But if you listen to the voice of Jesus, it's the voice of truth, and it will comfort you in good times and in bad times. It is the gospel. It is the voice of Jesus. It's his love for you and for me. May we all listen to his voice. Amen.